I'm still craving McDonald's after the opening of this
book. It's been 48 hours.
It's been at least 48 hours, and I...
Since we read about those crisp, salty fries.
And it was, like, a bittersweet moment, but also now I, like, need a McDonald's cheeseburger and fries.
Yes. Oh, my God. Just one patty take off. Pour one patty out for the hawk. Save one patty for you, the human.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he has to eat one. Okay. Okay. Oh, man. So.
Me, too. I'm also here in this particular hole with you.
Welcome to Morph Club.
Welcome to McDonald's Club, where we rate and review our favorite cheeseburgers from everyone's favorite promotional hamburger joint.
Please.
For which we are not being paid.
Dear McDonald's.
But in our downtime, this is Morph Club.
This is Morph Club. We just read book 49, which I can't believe we're that far.
I know. We're almost at 50. And by the way, I'm Carrie.
I'm Megan. Okay, so this book, things happen. We can't go back from this book.
Yeah.
There's actual consequences and, like, real things happening. It's great.
In an ongoing children's book series? How novel. But for real, yeah, this was a good one. I would put 49 on your to-read list if you've been reading along with some of the series.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah, it does. It deals with a lot of, like, family loss and parental loss, so be aware of that if that is a thing you are concerned about. But it's really good. It's got a good balance of goofs and action and escalation and real points of no return.
Yeah, it feels like, oh, yeah, we're finally hitting the end of the series. So, like, stuff's actually going to matter. But it does open with Tobias and Rachel having McDonald's.
It's such a good date. I was charmed by them. Yeah.
And he also is, like, overcome with how there's like a snake in his meadow and he's mad about it, so the whole time he's like, I'm gonna get that snake, but also I'm gonna have McDonald's with my girlfriend because this is really good.
This book is kind of about it's a lot about Tobias and what supports him, and it's also a lot about him being literally of two minds about things, which is a good metaphor that they've drawn on before in using this, like, hawk brain human brain to talk about the particular struggles that he's facing. And even when he's chowing down on that delicious burger, part of his brain is concerned about, like, what am I going to do if the meadow dries up? Like, how am I going to feed myself? Is it okay that someone is taking care of me? Because I've always had to take care of my own self.
Yeah, the list of things that Rachel has, like, offered him is incredible.
Just casually dropped in there, like a warm drawer that I can sleep in when it's thunderstorming.
With dryer sheets, and he's like, I don't want to smell like dryer sheets. I'm a hawk. And the vitamin drops.
Yeah, so it's for his little, like, a veterinarian vitamin drop, because I guess just eating mice don't cut it.
Which is so cute. I was looking back on what happened in this book, and it felt like some of the time he was doing the thing he used to do where he would, like, focus on, like, I'm a hawk, I don't need to care about, like, emotions. But then I think he's doing a better job integrating that with himself, like, that's part of him, and more of a, like, they're more combined than before.
Yeah, it does feel like he's figuring out a way to be grounded, and part of that is being able to reconcile, like, yes, I have to deal with this, but he also, like, is actively thinking about, but I would be regretful if it were just that all the time. Yeah. Like, I recognize that these are both parts of me.
Yeah, he's like, really comfortable, like, when they eat McDonald's. Yeah. He eats one of them off the ground as a bird. Just the meat, and then he morphs into a boy and has, like, the fries, and he's having a good time, and...
Yeah. Oh, my God. He, like, sorry, we're gonna spend the whole episode talking about this date, just so you know. Buckle in. Me too, but he eats the burger horribly messily. Yeah. He gets, like, special sauce all over his chin, like... and Rachel, like, casually drops some napkins on his face to deal with it. And he doesn't even bat an eye.
He says, like, oh, sometimes I forget, like, human things. And so he, like, eats the burger and he's like, it's so good! Which is so endearing.
Yeah, Tobias and Axe, a lot in common.
Yeah, they have a lot to talk about.
Rachel tells him not to get his feathers in a wad when she's like, listen, I brought you lunch.
Yeah.
I know you're going to blow up at me about this, but do not get your feathers in a wad, which is just so cute. Beautiful. Yeah.
Like, I like...
And I really like... It's such a nice detail of, like, they've been dating long enough that she can give him mild guff about this, and it's fine. Yeah,
and he can just, like, morph into his human morph in front of her, and she doesn't seem to... Like, she's like, you look gross. Yeah. But then, like, there's no, like... She doesn't look away. Like, she's just, like, looking at him as, like, a half-bird, like, plucked turkey creature, and she's just like, right. Ew.
Yeah, and she says, like, a sarcastic, very attractive, yeah, like, when he's like, at his absolute worst.
This is so cute. Like, she, like, sees him at his literal grossest because he is a half-bird, half-boy, like, flesh thing.
It's so good. I cackled out loud when she's, like, joking on him in the middle of that sequence. But then he morphs human, and she's like, yeah, that's better. It's like, oh, you guys, your relationship is so strange, so but also cute. Works so well.
I also like when she says, the X-Men have nothing on us, do they? And I'm like,
oh, my children. Yeah. What else? What else did we especially like about this date? I like that when he's done morphing human, she says, you know, Tobias, we have very weird dates.
God, I love these children. And they're like, oh, maybe we can have, like, patio furniture and lights and a picnic table and stuff for your meadow. Like, we can just, like, do it up. Yeah. Like, oh, I wish there weren't Yurks so they could just do, like, you know, renovation.
Build a half scoop together. Yeah, like, make a place where you guys can live happily in harmony. And Tobias is like, yeah, that would be really low profile, like a hawk with a patio. But the visuals in this book are also really good. Like, someone took a lot of time to think about, like, what action can be happening in these dialogue-heavy books that would create a good image. So, like, this whole time they're, like, lying on their backs in a sunny meadow, and it's a good visual break before the rest of the book is sent in, like, concrete facilities and in suffering, too.
Yeah, because after this is a barn meeting. thing.
It's a real barnstormer.
Real barn burner stormer.
All of the above. Right, so date, as with all good things, must come to an end.
Date's over?
And we do have to fly over to the barn.
I will remember it always, but...
Yes, I'm going to hold that close to my heart.
Meanwhile, in the barn...
Cassie is casually holding an injured doe and, like, giving it its shots. So, again, that's just happening just the whole time. This very serious discussion is going on, which is really good.
And that ends up being, like... called back later, the deer is, like, important, which I definitely glossed over, like, she's taking care of some animal. But now that I think about it, it comes back.
It does, which is nice, because a lot of the time, it is always a good goof. I will never grow tired of, like, all of us were discussing how to break into this facility, and meanwhile, Cassie had her arm down a skunk's throat. It's like, that never gets old. But it is nice to have a second level of it referred back to.
So, the big reason for the meeting is that Cassie's mom's lab got broken into, and they took a bunch of DNA samples, and they're...
Not just any DNA samples. They found a tiger, a bear, a gorilla, an elephant, a wolf, I think, and a rhino. Yeah, when a hapless lab tech came in, the two humans who were doing the break-in cornered him and were like, do you have red-tailed hawk samples? And when they did not, they were very upset.
And so the kids are like, oh, that's a bad sign because there's a lot of other animal DNAs, but these are specifically the ones that we morph all the time. So the Yurks must know that we're human and are trying to track us down through...
Finding animal DNA in our blood? I forgot that part of the morphing technology means there are just, like, you get specialized, like, platelets or red blood cells that just have chunks of animal DNA that you access somehow. But, hey, it's science fantasy. Do not worry,
like,
about it.
I'll go with it. Doesn't make sense to me at all as someone who has a, like, not a strong grasp on science to begin with.
I know CRISPR tech is getting wild. Like, we are getting to the point of being able to insert DNA into cells via bacterium, but I don't know what this particular chunk is referencing, and it doesn't matter. Yeah. The salient point is the Yurks are going to be able to figure out who the Animorphs are if they find human blood with this animal DNA in it somehow.
Alien tech will do it, so the kids have to figure out what to do. So they're, like, trying to think of, like, okay, well, have any of us given blood? Have any of us, like, been to the doctor? Or, like, how can we figure out who they might, like, find out first? But none of them are really turning up any Like, they're like, I don't know, I don't think I've been to the doctor in a while.
Right. Maybe my mom took me while we were all knocked out from, hey, remember the book where we had Andalite flu?
I sure didn't.
And Cassie had to do brain surgery on Axe.
I completely forgot. Then I was like, oh, yeah, these kids have been through so much.
49 books worth of suffering.
So Rachel's like, oh, like, my mom might have taken me to the doctor. I was pretty out of it, so it's possible. So they're like, okay, so they might actually be able to track down some of us.
Mm-hmm. So we need to figure out a way to find out where they have this data, and ideally destroy it, question mark?
Go in, do right. something?
So they talk through, yeah, they talk through, like, we could do a frontal attack, but if they do that, then it'll be very clear that, that's a kind of a giveaway that, yes, they're not Andalites, yes, these really are humans.
Yeah, and they can...
They could not do anything about it, and that would, they wouldn't blow their cover, but also the Yorks might find them.
Yeah, or might hurt their families if they do find them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're going to try to do a third option, which is hack every data bank in the country that stores blood samples, get all of those EMRs, and try to destroy the data without incriminating themselves.
And also, like, Axe and Marco are like, yeah, no big deal. Like,
yeah.
We've hacked into we the got CIA. This. Like, we think, and everyone else is like, what? What is, they're like, apparently this is what, like, Axe and Marco do for fun. Which
right.
is adorable.
They've run out of video games to play in the scoop. So now they're just white hat hackers they're like, for fun and profit.
You know what's better than a video game? Hacking into the CIA.
This is War Games, the scenario. There's a couple of other quips in here that I really like. Jake is like, listen, guys, we can't just do a full-blown assault. We have to really think this through. And Marco's like, yes, so let's think it through and then we'll do something stupid like we always do.
Like, you're not wrong. Fair. You're not wrong.
Yep. Marco spends a little while wondering, like, why, before they solve that the reason the Yorks are collecting this DNA is to find them, Marco's like, have they invented a new way to morph? Mm-hmm. And Axe goes off on a typical Andalite tangent about Yorks are not capable of invention. Everything they know, they steal from the Andalites. And the rest of the kids kind of look at him askance, like oh, we've heard
we
this.
Know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, Tobias in his little, like, recap, like, you know how, like, you know, they... The dialogue will helpfully recap for you what happened. He mentions that, like, they got the morph technology from Elfanger, and he's going off in this tangent of, like, did he know I was his son?
Oh, that hurt me. Like, there are a lot of things in this book
Tobias
hurt me.
Tobias doesn't know for sure. Like, we, the reader, know because we read Andalite Chronicles, so we know that he knew. But Tobias doesn't know that. Like, of course he doesn't. Like, this poor kid. And he's also, he casually mentions that, his mom disappeared. And at this point I was like, oh wait, I thought she was dead. So then I was like, I wonder if that ever, we ever find out what happened with that. And.
Ooh, they gotcha. Ooh, it worked.
Turns out later in the book.
They got me too. I forgot at what point Lauren comes back into play and was pleasantly surprised.
I thought she was for sure dead, so I was pretty excited.
Spoilers. Boy. Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of people who aren't Tobias, like, do well in this book. I feel like Cassie had some great moments. Rachel also.
Yes.
Now I'm just going to list all the kids because so did Marco. Yeah. So did Axe. And oh my God, so did
Jake. Went through the ringer, which is kind of cool because he's, like, more interesting when he's suffering.
Yeah, he is. So I was about to say exactly the same thing because I feel like, Tobias spends a while in this book thinking about, like, what a strong front Jake has been able to put up this whole time. And Tobias knows that it is a front, but, like, Tobias and everybody else have seen Jake as so stoic that it is both when I really liked getting to see them do heist planning because we so rarely get to see that. So it was cool to see his thought processes that way. And it was really interesting to see him, like, completely thrown off his game by events, which we will get to.
Yeah.
So devastating, but also really good.
And also, like, Tobias navigating, like, the fact that usually Jake is the one with things going right, and Tobias is the one who's like, my life's a mess. And then by the end of the book, that's very different, which is really interesting.
Yeah, a full seesaw.
Man, these poor kids.
I know, but these books are so good.
So, good news for Tobias, he does get revenge on that snake.
Oh, yeah. Well, does he?
He eats
I thought he...
Right?
Oh.
Right?
Wait. I thought, so Okay, so my read on this was this is Tobias's fortunes falling further before he gets the uptick at the end of the book, because he goes to eat the snake. He's like, he's flying out of this barn meeting. He's like, I'm mad, and on top of all this, I have to deal with my food problem. Yeah. So he's like flying into the suburbs, sees the snake in somebody's backyard, dives at it, and then a dude just has like a compound crossbow and shoots at him.
Yeah, and he's like, oh yeah, like a regular hawk wouldn't be hunting in the suburbs. It would, like, I'm acting not like a regular hawk, but also, like, it feels so good to eat the snake. I feel like it's, like, really making hawk me happy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're totally right. He, like, gets to take bites out of it before he gets shot at with a bow.
But it is definitely, like, the hawk boy equivalent of, like, angrily doing, like, skateboard tricks on a railing or something where it's like,
I'm gonna ollie the cops out of town.
Like,
Yeah, he says his human brain is going to get his hawk body in trouble one of these days, and that's just, that's very poignant, sweetheart.
Yeah, because, like, he and the hawk are, like, one in the same now, but that means that there's, like, more ways for him to screw up, because he's still a teen, still has some problems.
Teen hawk, teen boy, all trouble.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. We do get to see the scoop. Which just has some updates, I'm so happy.
Yeah, sorry, we do have to go back to Scoop Boys Scoop Corner. Boys. Here with the scoop on the Scoop Boys.
Because I forgot that one of the things that Axe already had, like the decor already included pictures of his favorite foods.
Oh my god.
Which I think this was mentioned before, because it sounds familiar
to me. I had forgotten.
But I can't stop thinking about it now.
This is, it's just such a good joke, because remember we, like, way back when this book, when the series was in, like, the teens, and the way they showed what people cared about was, like, Jake has a picture of Cassie, and Marco has a picture of his mom.
You know what Axe
And Axe is like, here's my dearest friend, this
Cinnabon.
Yeah,
I am definitely envisioning, like, framed images.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Ripped from magazines
God.
Of, like, pizza, cookies, hamburger, and then, like...
Yeah, it's his bucket list.
Yeah, and then, like, cinnamon roll in, like, a place of...
That's a full-on shrine, like, to his ancestor, but also to the cinnamon roll.
He also has research books, some computer stuff, a TV, which is referred to as his beloved television set.
And a satellite dish, some Game Boy games, CDs, and books. And Tobias is like, Marco has acquired these somehow, despite being legally dead, which is like, where is my side story about Axe and Marco doing heists?
I love it. I also love that he... describes Axe as an alien of few possessions, but then, like, a couple sentences later, but Marco was a boy with lots of toys, so he, like, brought all his crap over and is
it's my
over.
Favorite odd couple.
Yeah, I love
it.
Like, I want just a show of them running, like, an alien tech store or something. Like, just...
Oh, yeah. Like that TV episode where he's in cell phone land, but better.
Yeah.
But good.
So Tobias comes and hangs out.
Marco talks about how he misses school and babes, and now he only has Axe, and then we cut to Axe, who is written as lovingly gazing at a magazine ad for M&M.
I love...
It's so good. What a good joke.
It's so good. And then also, like, they're like, yeah, we like, hacked into everything. No big deal.
CIA, old news. Did that yesterday.
Yeah, let me dunk on an Axe real quick, but we just hacked into everything.
Tobias has, like, a melancholic aside about, like, Marco's been collecting all this stuff. Like, actually, maybe he would be better at being a bird of prey than I am, because he's just an opportunist, and he probably wouldn't make him follow these bizarre rules and get hung up about his girlfriend bringing him McDonald's burgers.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, you've got Rachel doing all this stuff for you. Like, man, I got no babes. But, like... Yeah,
meanwhile, Axe in the corner pointing out, like, this growing stack of classic SNES games is like, excuse me, what are these? What do you think we've been doing?
What is this rectangle? I want Andalites have to have had video games, like, digital,
But, Blitzball. Yeah, probably, right? Because they talk about their war stories are the major entertainment, right?
Yeah.
Like, watching old holograms of battles. So maybe they've gone full into, like, Call of Duty
like
recruitment
simulation.
Tools for the Andalite army. Yeah. Woof. War culture is a lot.
Yeah. So enough of this happiness.
Yeah, sorry. Were you enjoying that? Too bad.
So they're like, oh... there's going to be a blood drive with a circus nearby.
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether the circus was part of the blood drive or it was just conveniently in town, but either way, good detail.
I kind of...
There's a blood drive, there's a circus, and the only place we were unable to hack into is this, like, unassuming bioservices lab, like, right near town.
So, like...
So that's what we're gonna raid.
Yeah, so, hey, that seems pretty suspicious. Let's go. Rachel gets to Morph Elephant, and she gets to smash things. And I like...
It's good.
I like that Tobias, like, says to Jake while she's smashing, you've made her a very happy pachyderm.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, this is so cute.
It's so cute. And, like, this is... I really enjoyed the chunk of pages where they talk through... They actually talk through a plan in advance. But also, it's really well written because they've been working together so long that Jake is just like, you guys know what to do, right? And they're all like, yeah. Rachel's like, I'm going to go smash things. And Jake's like, right. And then what are you going to do? Rachel's like... and Jake goes on to say, you're gonna mingle with the crowd and disappear. And Tobias and Marco look at each other and are like, there's no way she can do that. Probably not.
Like, they all know each other so well.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't even have to talk through, like, what specific morphs they're gonna do, which is a tiny detail, but it's good. It's really well fleshed out, is the thing.
It feels, like, really natural. Like, you can tell they've been doing this for a while without having to have, like, we've been doing this for 6 months.
So Rachel goes elephant to, like, bust down these Gleet biofilters that are protecting the totally normal facility with, like, sheer force.
Totally.
The other kids go fly. She's going to guide them over after they all make slight detours to get on some dumpster food.
Oh, real gross. Real gross.
Real nasty.
They end up in a janitor's closet trying to decide what to do.
Comical, good visual again. It's like four kids and an andalite crammed into the closet.
They're looking at all the Horcrux with little armbands and all the controllers walking around. So they're like, okay, this is definitely a Yerk facility. And then Tobias notices Marco's new morphing outfit, which I love everything about this. So Marco's like, you only just noticed my cool new outfit. And Tobias is like, yeah, your shirt is the exact color of those armbands, which is very coincidental, but also, like, it is a piece of fabric. Like, you can hack that.
That's, like, their high-tech insignia. Yeah, it's literally a blue armband.
It's not, like, a holographic, like, chip tattoo, like, in Jupiter Ascending.
Oh, can we? Okay, I want to watch that movie again yesterday.
So they're like, okay, so we can just, like, rip up your shirt and morph.
Poor Marco is like, I just got this outfit. You only just noticed how good this color is on me. But fine, I guess if it's to save the
world. I also like that he, like, takes it off and he's like, we better do this quickly because, like, my shirtless torso will, like, drive everyone crazy. Like, oh, Marco.
It was good. And Cassie laughs along with him. Yeah, there are a lot of good banter moments in the background of this hot mess.
It's rough.
Right, remember that Marco's legally dead? Because I forgot.
I keep forgetting.
But he's already at that point.
This poor kid. So they get into the computer room.
They bluff their way past a guard, just saying, like, oh, you
my
ask
God,
pass?
So good.
Ha 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 ha. Visser 1 surprise inspection.
And of course, the, like, actual controller is like, okay, go through.
Yeah, please don't kill
me. So they go and they look at the computers. Axe does have to morph Andalite because he's like, he does try to be, like, diplomatic this time when he's like, Horcrux fingers, Andalite fingers might be a little better. This is, like, the one time.
Slightly more
he
nimble.
He has, like, a little bit of respect for these Horcrux. So he's doing the computer thing. There has been some kind of match. So they're trying to figure out, like, so there is a match to someone's blood type.
They're looking at this DNA. Giant map. Yeah, blood DNA, I don't know. It's like, sure. We figured out the personality based on blood type A.
Alien tech.
So there's a giant map. There's, like, hot spots showing, like, possible match in this area, but there's only one place where they found a partial match to one of the Andalite bandits, quote, DNA.
So they're like, okay, so they found one of our family members, not one of us, because it's only a partial match. But they haven't finished loading who it is or something.
Right, so that's, like, that's actively loading, or, like, nobody has looked at the data since the computer found it. So Axe is trying to delete all of the data from the mainframe, but at the same time, the kids are trying to figure out which of our family members is this. And, like, with perfect timing, a little pop-up shows up on screen That says Lauren.
Yeah, and they're like, Tobias, you should definitely look at this. And he's...
Take a look at this?
And yeah. Tobias has, like, the, like, blue screen moment of, like, this is... The address that is shown for her is, like, in their town.
Yeah, it's 8 blocks from the house where he used to live with his uncle. It's, like, around a couple of corners.
And so he's... understandably shocked and confused and angry. Like, he's feeling everything.
Yeah, but he doesn't have time because right then, 12 Hork-Bajir with real blue bands show up.
So it's time for a fight. It's gross.
It's nasty. There's, like, a beak gets ripped off, and I hadn't thought about how horrible that was until I put the book down, came back to it, was like, oh, no, that's your whole bird
face. It's real intense. They are still trying to, like, delete the thing on the computer, destroy the computer.
Good scene. Like, the kids are having an all-out fight, and just Axe is casually hacker-typing away in the background.
And he's fighting with his little tail blade, but also trying to...
Yeah, hands type, tail attack. Yeah, he can do it all. He slices, he dices.
Marco is down a beak, so he's, like...
Nearly dead. Yeah, Tobias has to kill Hork-Bajir to get to him. Everybody is having to do some murders. But they manage to break through the fighting, and they think they're going to be able to get out. But they reach the door and are, like, frantically slamming this knocked-out guard's hand against the palm pad. And this human controller who's, like, a yoga granny?
Yeah, she's like a grandma with a Dracon beam. Who's like, I already deleted his DNA from the system!
You can't get out!
And then...
So it looks... Things are looking bad for our teens. But then...
Rachel in Grizzly Morph slams a forklift through the door?
Yeah, so, like, two metal prongs come straight through the door, like, narrowly missing our teens. Yeah. And then they are quickly followed by the rest of the forklift being driven by a grizzly bear.
Yeah, or...
Rachel's like, what's up? I stole this from the circus. No big deal.
So the kids are safe. So now Tobias,
but barely.
So now Tobias they have to process all this in private.
Mm-hmm. But they were not able to delete the data from the computer. So at this point, they're like, okay, the jig is up. Like, at best, we have days before they come for us and our families. So, like, Marco demorph. It doesn't matter anymore if they see you're human. Like, we're done. Something is going to have to change.
So Tobias is thinking about how close, like, he's still stuck on how close Lauren is to him physically.
Oh my god. Yeah, he says that she walked past my house every day and kept going, and my heart just broke for him.
And, like, he talks about how, like, he, like, as a kid kept, like, trying to come up with, like, oh, there must be a reason why she left, so, like, these are the reasons she's gonna come back. And it's like, she's a witness protection program, she's shipwrecked, she's in another country, like, something.
I was in witness protection, like, anything, right? Like, doing that kind of kid magical thinking that, like, probably never really left him.
Yeah, it's really sad. So, but then he has to, like, put that aside and go to another barn meeting.
Okay, so just tamp it down, bury it in the hole just along with the oil spill. We'll come back to that later. Cover it with some emotional gravel.
So, in the barn...
It's dead silent, real quiet. Which is unusual for a barn meeting. Like, usually somebody is hassling somebody, or Cassie is, like, taking care of an animal, but everyone is just sitting, like, dead silent on bales of hay.
I do like that Cassie's still taking care of this doe.
Helping. This is where it comes back. Yeah.
Good. Like, I like the, like, oh, everyone's kind of still doing their own thing, and Axe, like, smiles at Tobias.
Yeah.
Well, Andalite smile.
Sad, warm eye smile.
Then they're like, okay, we're going to have to figure out what to do, because the Orcs are going to come after our families if we don't do something.
Mm-hmm. And Jake is beating himself up very badly and out loud, which is extremely unusual for Jake. But he straight up says, like, I thought we were going to go in for a surprise. What was I thinking? Why didn't I see we needed more time? Now all our families are in danger because of me, because I screwed up. And Cassie tries to talk him down a little bit. Like, you were thinking we couldn't wait because our families were going to be in danger. And you were right. Like, we have to find a way to get them out of here.
Yeah, it's rough. And so he's basically saying, okay, like, we're probably going to have to either tell our parents and somehow get them out or do something. We're going to have to make a big decision, so let's all sleep on it. For once, uh-huh. he's, like, doing the, like, responsible, like...
Yeah, the guidance counselor, like, take a minute, yeah. children.
And come back tomorrow. And he does casually mention, I think at this point, that his parents are, like... going to look at a lawnmower tomorrow or something.
Right. So they'll have to do it first thing yeah. in the morning.
And they all, like, they're all talking about feeling guilty about not being able to tell their parents anything. So they're all kind of wanting
yeah.
to.
Yeah. Oh, that was yeah. so, that was so rough to read, right? Is like, at least the lying will be yeah. over. Like, at least we won't have to lie to our families on top of saving the world. I know.
Big yeah. mood. And Tobias is... worked oh. up, obviously. And
Marco takes him aside before he can get into anything and is like, look, I know you're mapping out yeah. a suicidal rescue mission, but you can't do this. She is probably already a controller. Yeah. Tobias is like, you don't know that. There's no way to be sure. You absolutely don't know that. And Marco comes back with, yeah, dude, I lived yeah. it. Like, literally for years.
Yeah, like I like when the kids are like, being really real with each other. And it's like Marco actually mm-hmm. does understand this in a way that the other kids don't. Like, yeah. there's like things that certain like pairs of them understand. They can like, it's nice.
Yeah. I it's mean, the also best tragic. Way to do an ensemble yeah. cast. Yeah. Right. But it wouldn't be as effective if everyone had exactly yeah. the same relationship with each other.
Huh. So he's like gonna leave, and Rachel's like, "You should stay at my house. You shouldn't be alone."
Oh, baby.
And he's
this made me so sad.
Like, and he's like, "I've always been alone." but then he does say like, "Thank you, I appreciate, but I can't." And it's so yeah. sad.
And Rachel's like, "I know you can't, but I'm gonna leave my window open anyway." And he says, "A human yeah. boy would have kissed her then, but the hawk boy. Oh wow, the hawk boy. The hawk boy flew out of the hayloft." Towards the city. Hawkbloy is so good. Hawkbloy. I'm just going to keep coming back to that when I feel yeah. sad. He's a bloy. He's a hawk. Bloy. He's a hawk and all a bloy.
So
Tobias is off to his uncle's yeah, house.
He flies by it, checks it out. He's like, the lawn looks like someone's taking care of it, so my uncle definitely doesn't live there anymore. Which is real oh, dark.
So sad.
But also a little bit funny. But, mm-hmm. So then he flies the 8 blocks over to his mother's house, and it's this, like, little, like, shack-like, tiny...
It's a tiny yeah. house, yeah, in, like, kind of a rundown neighborhood.
And he's just kind of surveilling, like, what's going on. Like, there's... Mm-hmm. He's listening in on, like, the conversations of, like, there's, like, a kid in a house nearby, and he's like, that sounds kind of like when I had arguments with my uncle, like...
Mm-hmm. But why is it still yeah. dark at Lauren's house? Like, it's getting into evening yeah. and night. Like, every other house has lights on. What's going on in this dark house? I can hear feet yeah. walking in
and
there.
And you can hear dog toenails clicking around.
Yeah. Clickety-clack.
And the door opens, and it's Lauren with a German Shepherd in a guide dog harness. Mm-hmm. And then he watches her and realizes that she's blind.
Hence the no lights, yeah. hence the harness. And she also has, like, a deep set of scars yeah. across her face. Like, it looks like she was really badly injured, and I don't know if we yeah, ever get into know. Why or how. I couldn't tell, and I don't remember if it's meant to be, like, a failed Yurk attack or just, like, a normal human yeah, tragedy.
I don't know. It's...
Yeah, me neither. But she has, like, a full Prince Zuko, yeah. like, half of her face is scarred yeah. situation going on.
But she does have this very cute guy, dog. And he mm-hmm. says that she looks like him. And that's like...
Yeah, oh, that yeah. hurt.
And she's being really nice to her dog. Like, she says, you're a good boy, champ, which is also heartbreaking mm-hmm. because Tobias is, like, right there wanting his mom yeah. to...
Oh.
So she and the dog...
So he follows her, yeah, as she and champ walk, like, a couple blocks to a local church and down into the basement. Tobias morphs fly and follows her in. And sorts out that she volunteers at, like, a yeah. crisis center, like, manning the phones on a crisis hotline.
Yeah, and she seems really nice from, like, what we've seen. Like, she, like, someone's swatting at Tobias the fly, and she's like, don't swat at the fly. Like, it's just, like,
it's yeah. not hurting anything, yeah.
And Tobias is, of course, like, the fact that she seems really nice and cool is, like, make more painful to him because...
Right, right. He's like, who is this person who cares about people in crisis? She cares about her dog. She cares about flies in a basement, but she didn't care enough about me to come see me even once. So baby boy flies himself up to like the church steeple and just sits there, which again is like, that's a heartbreaking thing to see. Yeah.
So
he sleeps at some point. He does not get stuck in fly morph, although it was apparently a close
call.
That
was really upsetting. He's like,
yeah, just casually dropped in there. Like, by the way, I stayed up there for almost 2 hours. Whoops-a-daisy.
Oh my God, Tobias.
Sweetie.
So the next day, Jake is talking to the Chi in the barn.
Back in the barn.
He's like, okay, the Chi need to know what we're doing. And Mr. King is like, yeah, no, we'll help you, whatever.
I'm so old. I'm eternal. We'll do holograms, I guess.
I do like Cassie's little, like, because Mr. Chi is like, let us know if you need anything. And Cassie's like, can you make this all go away, please?
Yeah.
And Mr. King's like, if we could, we would have a long time ago. And it's like very, like.
That was touching.
It's.
And hurtful,
Well, it's like, I like that he took her joke seriously and was just like, I'm sorry, I can't. So, like, they're basically all talking about how hard it is to keep up this facade.
Mm-hmm. Like, Rachel was helping one of her kid sisters prep for a gymnastics meet. Cassie was just talking to her dad about, like, normal vet stuff.
Yeah, and even Jake is like, I'm tired of talking to my parents about how they want to get this lawnmower, and I can't go because of, like, I have to help Cassie with something at a morphe. Mm-hmm. So they're all like, let's just reveal everything.
Right. We're going to, essentially, it's a unanimous vote. They're going to kidnap their parents and families and take them to the Hork-Bajir Valley and tell them the whole truth.
And Jake is saying Tom's part of the deal, which nobody is arguing with. And, like, Axe is just saying, like, I'll do whatever you're doing, Jake. And Tobias doesn't vote. He's the last vote. And he says, yeah, we'll get them all out.
And doesn't specifically say, I also mean my mom, by the way, but it is pretty clear that is part of the package for him. They're going to take Jake's family last because that way, if anything goes wrong trying to get Tom, everyone else is already safe. They're going to have to keep them isolated for 3 days, like pack a toothbrush and some extra deodorant, and then they're going to live with the Hork-Bajir, I guess, until the end of the war,
I guess. And also with Tom, they're going to have to extract that yerk. That's going to be a whole other process, so...
Remember how hard that was for Jake? Now we have to do it with someone angrier. Yeah,
and
cool.
Presumably bigger than Big Jake.
Yeah, right. Big Tom.
He has to be bigger.
He was a basketball. Yeah. Imagine Jake wearing Tom's old varsity jacket throughout this whole scene and just, oof, I'm in so much pain.
I'm upset for these kids.
Me too.
So I do like the... They're like, when are we gonna do this? And Cassie's like, let's just go now.
So my parents are both home. We know the Yerks are already mobilizing. Like, let's do it.
So these sequences are both...
I love this sequence so much, and it hurt me so deeply.
It's, like, very charming and cute and, like, funny, but also really sad. Like, so she goes to...
So they spend a while talking through, like, okay, here's how we're going to have to approach this, like, little team meeting. They do an Animorphs huddle, and Cassie's like, we have to prove this rationally to my parents, or they will never believe it. Like, they're just scientists. We're just going to have to show them
proof. They need evidence. They're not going to just believe us. So So I do like the precaution of Mr. King creating a hologram of the whole house so that if anyone drives by, it, you know, nothing weird will be happening. So they go up to her mom, and...
Tobias flies over and, like, taps his little birdie beak on her coffee, and she's just like, oh, you're a friendly hawk, aren't you?
And he's, like, I think thought-speaking at her, and, like, she's like, Cassie, are you messing with me? Like, are you videotaping this? Like,
am I on a point? Is this going to be on television?
And so they have Tobias demorph, or morph, actually.
Cassie, I think Axe shows up along with Rachel and Marco and Jake and Cassie, and Cassie's mom immediately, like, leaps between Cassie and Axe and is like, Cassie, get back. I don't know what this is. I don't know what's happening, but, like, get behind
me. And she's also trying to, like, when Tobias morphs in front of her. She's trying to protect.
Oh, yeah. She's so chill about it. Yeah. She, like, immediately throws a blanket over the bird, over Tobias, and is like, I don't know if this has rabies or what, but, like, Cassie, get back. I'm going to go get this to the barn and deal with it. It's fine.
It's, like, so good because she's, like, ready to take care of the situation, but she's also, like, I didn't realize.
It's so comical.
I didn't realize until towards the end of this book, but the fact that all the parents are, like, protecting their kids is, like, more than just making Tobias sad about his situation, which is so upsetting and sad. So they have to, like, show Cassie's mom, like, this is an alien.
You're right. Tobias demorphs. Cassie morphs. Cassie calls her dad out and is like, now watch this and please don't freak out. Morphs wolf, like, very beautifully, I'm sure, because she's an Astrian.
I do like that Cassie's mom is like, I knew those high voltage power lines would have an impact in the wildlife. I bet it's radioactive.
That's so good. Right. And again, very casually, like, trying to scoop this, like, what she thinks is a radioactive bird, I guess, out of the way of her beautiful daughter who is turning into a wolf. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, man. So the two, her parents, once they see the alien, they explain everything, are like, okay, I think we get this.
Yeah, and why didn't you tell us? We could have helped, her mom says, as she, like, picks Cassie up and, like, holds her teen daughter, which is so much.
I also like Cassie's mom petting Axe's rump. And Cassie's like, Mom, would you pet Jake's butt? like, so good.
Yeah, it's great. So they're still protesting. They're like, why can't we help fight? Like, why do you have to wrestle us away so quickly? Like, what's going on? Why do you have to even be a part of this? Like, they keep protesting until Eric, or Mr. King, his dad, shows them a video of Cassie in wolf morph getting shot in an old battle, which is a lot on several letters, several levels, which I didn't pick up on as a baby teen, but the video he shows them is of a cop controller shooting their black daughter. So that has impacts on so many levels above and beyond.
Oh, my, like, God, yeah.
My child is in danger. There's a lot of a lot of racism wrapped up in that particular image.
I didn't make that connection, but yeah, for sure. So they are convinced that, like, we have to get out of here.
So Cassie grabs the morphing cube and is careful to show you, the reader, that the morphing cube is in her backpack.
Covered in photographs, like a photo frame.
Yeah, that's like so a little cute. Photo and cube. Also smart.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, this is, like, such a good disguise for it.
Right. It was full purloined letter, but also no ants are going to accidentally brush up against it. Thank goodness. Cassie is hesitant to leave because she's worried about the doe in the barn and all the other animals.
And not Eric, but Mr. King is like, don't worry. I was Louis Pasteur's lab assistant in a former incarnation. I was actually the one who suggested heat as a way to kill bacteria. I'll look in on this deer.
I'm 2,000 years old. Don't worry about it.
So they do pack up the rest of the animals. I think it's like the deer is the most sick, or she's too big. She's too big to take with them is the actual reason. So they all bundle in. They're going to go to the safe house, I guess, and then go to the Hork-Bajir Valley.
So Marco morphs gorilla and climbs in the truck with them. It's just think of me as a furry guardian angel, he says as they drive away.
So on to the next house.
Next up is Rachel.
Level 2. Rachel. Yeah.
Rachel says, like, logic and reason are not going to work on my mom. She is a lawyer. There is no way to win an argument with her. We just have to do it. We just have to steal her and
she
go.
She will argue her way into whatever she wants. So we're just going to have to do it, which is really funny.
It's so good.
Also, her little sisters are watching Cat Dog and don't notice Rachel, an alien, her cousin, and, like, a stranger walking in the back of their
house. It's very chill. So Rachel and Jake pack overnight bags, and then Rachel and Jake go down to the kitchen to talk to her mom. Rachel morphs grizzly and walks through the door, and her mom grabs a spice rack off the wall and starts swinging it at this grizzly bear in her kitchen. It's like, Rachel, get out of here. I don't know what's happening. I'm going to hold off this bear with the spice rack.
She's I can see where Rachel gets it from.
Yeah, it's so good and smart. And Cassie talking to her parents has always been like, I can see so clearly where, like, why you are who you are. It was nice to get some of that for Rachel, too.
And I like that Rachel's sisters are, like, They're like, we better take care of, like one of you, go protect my sisters. I have to talk to my mom. And yeah. Axe is like, oh, I'm taking care of it. They thought I was a Pokemon. And then.
And that they needed to train him.
He's like, I told them I'm very fast, but they don't believe me. and they're like riding on him or something. Like, it's so cute. Yeah,
like her tiny sister is riding on Axe's back and Jordan is just like walking alongside him very casually.
Like, I need a whole book of Axe being like part of the Babysitter's Club.
Yes, please. Like, Dawn, listen, we need that weird blue ponytail. Yeah. We need Alolan ponytail. Just get him in here. He's going to take care of all
the
kids.
He looks a little weird, but you know what? I believe in him.
It's fine. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Rachel's mom is still swinging that spice rack. And eventually, like, Rachel's thought speaking at her, and her mom is like, Rachel, are you in the bear?
Did it eat you alive? I will get you out. And, like, runs up to the bear to, I guess, tear its stomach open.
Rachel's trying to explain, but then eventually she's like, we just have to go. And I think she just picks up her mom.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's fine.
Rachel's just like, look, mom, whatever. It's okay. And Tobias, meanwhile, is running, like, some very sad commentary about, like, this is what moms do, I guess. They put themselves in danger to save their kids.
There is also another sad part where, like, she's talking to her sisters, and she's like, okay, we're going to go on vacation. I can't say for how long, but we have to go. And the middle sister, Jordan, asks, like, we have to call Dad. Like, how will he know where we are? And Rachel says really gently for Rachel, that don't worry about him, I'll tell him.
And I don't remember if that's true. I have no idea if she's able to get her dad out.
Yeah, I was assuming that she thought he might be a controller at this point. Because he works
news media, like, in like a pretty high up position, and that seems like
it's possible. Which is awful, especially since like she, like early on the series was like,
should I go live with my dad? How do I feel about, like, my divorced family and balancing that?
She seemed like she was really close with him early on, but now it's, like, you can't just assume he's fine, so.
Yeah. Baby.
So
Rachel, still in grizzly morph, is like, listen, I'm just going to take you hostage. I'm going to sit in this car next to you as a grizzly bear and threaten you unless you drive to the Hork-Bajir Valley. It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Yeah.
So
now we're down to just Axe, Jake, and Tobias, who wave goodbye to this car full of Rachel's family as it drives off to the valley. And then they head to Jake's house.
And everyone is basically bracing for this to be difficult.
The hardest one. Yeah.
But nobody's home yet. They're still out, presumably looking at this lawnmower.
Jake's like, it's fine. That's even better. That means we can just keep them in the car. We'll just hold Tom down, and my parents will drive off willingly. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. He packs bags.
Tobias notices that Jake is, like, on the way over, he's flying differently, which is such a good detail, because it's like, that's something that probably only Tobias would pick up on, is that Jake is handling his bird morph, like, I think he says more daringly and defiantly than normal, like taking sharper curves and flying like a fighter pilot.
Yeah, he said like a fighter pilot, like Rachel.
Because like he's gonna get Tom. Yeah. That's what he's been waiting for since book one.
Yeah. So he packs the bags. I do like that he packs his dad's golf clubs and Tom's basketball.
Oh my god. That was such a, like, a naive and sweet detail of, like, hey, guys, remember that these are children. Remember that they are thinking that what you need to pack to go into hiding is your dad's favorite golf clubs.
I guess in the Hork-Bajir Valley, that might actually be, like...
Well, they got nothing but time.
You got grass, you got time.
That's golf ball, baby.
So
the ball rolls away, and, like, that's also a great visual. Yeah. Like, the basketball bounces down the driveway, and Jake runs after it, and meanwhile, Axe is, like... I'm a little worried about the fact that your family has been lawnmower shopping for 7 hours.
Prince Jake, it's been a while, and, like, Jake's like, it's fine, it's fine. I'm gonna shoot some baskets. Don't worry.
Yeah. Which is so sad. Oh, baby. So he's just, like, he's shooting hoops. He's bouncing this basketball off, like, the garage wall. So there's, like, this thunk punctuating this increasingly fraught conversation about, like, isn't it odd that they've been gone for so long? With Tom on the weekend of a sharing blood drive, and he's just like, nope, no, it's fine. We're going to wait here, and I'm going to get my family.
It's like really like disturbing in a good way. Like it's a good yeah. choice to have Jake, who's usually the one who's the like professional,
practical, and
but he's just like methodically like acting like everything's fine, which is weird for him.
Yeah.
So like Tobias and Axe are both the friends who are like, hey, we should maybe prepare for this to not be okay. Yeah. But poor Jake is like, maybe it'll be okay. Like, I'll just, no, like,
be in full denial for as long as humanly possible. Like, even when Axe tries to point out, like, hey, remember that Tom tried to infest and then kill your father? Jake is like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. We're going to get them out in time.
Yeah, and then...
So finally, Tobias is, like, on lookout duty, and he sees their parents' car coming back. But he also sees two giant SUVs tailing it, like, on parallel streets.
Yeah, and Jake kind of, like, after Axe has been continuing to be like, hey, I'm worried, this seems weird, Jake does finally, like... blow up at him a little bit. Like, he knows, like, he in the back of his mind, he knows this is bad, but he was still kind of hoping. Like, it, like, he doesn't explicitly say that, like, which is cool. Like, it's written in a way that feels really natural. But yeah, the car is coming. There's other cars like flanking it on other streets nearby. So yeah,
so Tobias thinks like it's a trap, like your family is coming, but there are also Yurks following them. So we can't get them out. We're going to have to wait. You're going to have to leave.
And then, like, I think Tobias has, like, a slightly closer view, and he sees Jake's mom holding a Dracon beam, and she tries to shoot at him. So, yeah, it's probably too late. It's definitely too late.
Jake is still kind of refusing to believe it until his mom shoots not just at Tobias, but, like, straight at him and is screaming about, like, filthy Andalites the whole time.
Yeah.
It's rough. It's a rough read to see this kid, like, have his world torn to pieces right in front of him. We don't even see Tom. Yeah. Like, at this point, I think it is lingering on Jake's mom, because this is also a book about Tobias's mom, but you have to assume that his dad is also a controller.
This is a mom-heavy book. Happy Mother's Day.
Which I dig. Right. Eva's fine. Eva's hanging out in the Hork-Bajir Valley. Yeah.
So, and then, like, Jake starts morphing Bird. And Eric, the Chi, is like, hey, I'll hide the morph. Like, let me project a hologram. And Jake is like, no, I want them to see me doing this. I want them to know that
I'm still fighting. Baby. It's so good. And it's so hard to read.
But it's like, this is such a good, like it's good, sad.
Yeah, and it's such a nice, it's a good parallel to way back when in, like, book 5, Jake, like, tried to break Tom out and failed, and then went to call him to say, keep fighting, like, so the real Tom would still know.
Ooh, Jake.
Poor real Tom underneath that controller somewhere is not having a good time.
So they leave. Jake is...
out of control, like flying like a maniac, like nearly hitting the ground in nosedives, doing wild turns and curves.
And he's narrating like how he's like, why did I tell us to take time to think about this? Why? Like
I rush in when I need to wait, and I wait when I should have rushed in. Like, I get sleep and my parents get yurks.
And so, like, Axe is trying to be like, hey, we're going to go back for them. It's not.
When the time is right, we'll get them out. This isn't the end of the world.
Like, for Jake, you know, like, because they're like, hey, you couldn't have, like, stopped Tom was planning this forever. You couldn't have stopped it. And Jake is like, I could have. Like, I could have done it. Like, don't tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, poor Jake. Like, he hasn't, like, been this, like, candid about doubting himself and doubting, like, because he's always the leader. So it's like...
Even in his weird dream episode book, which I think is the last Jake book we had, it was still like he spent so much time trying to put on a veneer even when the people he was talking to were just weird dream fragments.
And also, like we're used to, if we're reading a Jake book, he might have a sequence like this where he's thinking to himself, but we haven't seen him.
Never external.
And I appreciate that it's Axe and Tobias, because I think those are the people he, like... Maybe Marco, but I don't think he would be this, like, honest with the rest of them. Because, like...
Yeah, even with Cassie, I think it would be a very different format. Yeah. Like, they might sit down and have a talk about his feelings, but not in the heat of the moment.
He
like
wouldn't
this.
Be venting like this at her, because that's not what their relationship is, it feels like.
And so Tobias is extremely perceptively thinking about, like, recognizes that this is the first time he's ever seen Jake like this, right? And, like, this whole time Jake has been this pillar. Jake has been, like, their stalwart center. And wondering how he's been so steady, and finally kind of understanding that he's not magically better at this than any of the other kids are, but he's had his family, right? Like, he's had this one goal that he's been able to lock onto, and it was getting Tom back and getting his family out of this alive, and now he doesn't have that, and we are seeing him falter.
And basically he and Axe can't do anything about that. Like, they can't really comfort him, because it is terrible. Like, And eventually, Tobias is like, I have to go hunt. I have to leave. But he's flying back to the city to go check on Lauren, of course.
This is, like, halfway point of the book. Oh my God. Maybe two-thirds of the way, but, like, this is three books already. And we're like, still not to the meat of it.
I was looking at the, like, percentage left, and I was like, how? We still have half a book? I'm emotionally exhausted.
I'm exhausted.
But yeah, he goes, he's like sitting outside Lauren's house watching the neighborhood.
He spots a bunch of controllers. Like, there's a kid who's been listening to a CD player at the bus stop for like hours. There's like a homeless woman with a shopping cart who's been pushing it up and down the same block. And there's like some guy in an abandoned van, like, who all stick out like a sore thumb. If you are a hawk looking at a neighborhood from
above.
And
they're all kind of looking at him a little bit too closely. And then I think they do eventually think he's a normal hawk, but they're like keeping an eye on him. So he's watching Lauren and Champ walk towards the church for work. And then suddenly Marco Thought speaks at him that, like, the dog's your ticket. I was so happy. So
I know.
Marco and Axe are
so
there.
Jake sent Marco and Axe. They didn't just come of their own accord, but they were like, listen, Jake thought you might need
help.
Which is so good. Yeah. Like, even in the middle of everything Jake is going through, he was still able to, like, recognize that Tobias might do this, want to help him, and send, like, two of the most effective members of the team. Or, I guess, the only two people who aren't with their families in the valley.
I feel like, also, Jake is the kind of person who, realizing Tobias needs him to do that, would make him get it together.
Yeah, like, help him, like, not pull himself out of it, but, like, he needs a goal to focus
on. He's like Homer! Oh my God, where's Homer?
Oh no. Oh, baby. Oh, Megan, no,
I didn't even
stop.
Homer's fine.
Homer's fine. Homer's fine. Homer ran away, and Homer ran to the valley already.
Took him.
Homer and Champ. Oh, you're totally right,
actually. The Chi were like, this dog will not be taken care of by these yurks.
Yep. The Chi Sanctuary, for wayward dogs, has acquired a new happy baby in its Homer, so they can still visit him.
Eric,
it's okay.
The Chi calmly walked out with Homer. This is
right,
what I believe.
Projecting a hologram of, like, a moving solid snake bushel and basket.
And let's
it's
be real.
Fine.
Those controllers aren't going to even think twice about this.
It's a low priority, I think.
Victimless crime.
Steal a dog, everybody. It's fine.
It's just like a Shiloh.
Oh, no.
So Axe and Marco are here to help their boy.
Yes, and the way that they're going to help their boy is they follow Lauren to her grocery shopping, which she's doing at a local 7-Eleven.
They go into that dumpster to demorph, because they are trash boys. Yep. They go into the 7-Eleven to be delinquents at her. Like,
yeah, this is such a good scene.
Oh,
I like.
Delightful.
I don't. If I tried to read it, I would just read the whole thing to you.
So,
I highly recommend reading through it yourself.
But their plan is. It is not a great plan.
Unclear. Yeah.
But it's delightful to read, because they're basically like, we're going to be hooligans who are going to mess with her so we can touch her dog. Which,
like, that's remarkably wholesome as, like, a hoodlum goal goes. It's like, hey, I just want to pet a dog, and I don't know how to properly express my emotions, so I guess I'm going to make some trouble in this store.
What kills
store.
Me is that there's no, like, oh, well, it's a working dog, so we can't just pet it.
Right.
There's no discussion of that. It's just like, we're going to be hooligans. Like, which is...
We got to blow off some steam. This has been a rough day.
So they go into the 7-Eleven. Tobias is having some, like, emotions about, like, oh, like, like, this neighborhood
He's
is
being
not
human
great.
Around his mom for the first time. And, like, she has to do her shopping at a 7-Eleven because it's the closest thing to her. And, she's in a food desert. It's not well kept up.
So Axe is...
in the finest form we have maybe ever seen
him. Delightful. Meanwhile...
I can't believe he didn't eat anything.
He was showing so much strength in this time.
Yeah. Personal restraint.
So they, like, go up to her and are like, lady, we're gonna hang out with your dog. And they just, like... and she ignores them because she's a pro. And she's just like, these kids will leave me alone if I ignore them. So they take the dog away and there's, like, no outcry. No one...
Yep, they just take him to a storage room in the back.
Other people in the store, they mention as they go in, there's, like, kids and a guy run, like, but whatever. Nobody cares.
It's fine, I guess.
They go into a back room and acquire her dog, basically. Mm-hmm. And, like, I do love when Axe is, like, trying to intimidate Lauren and he's like...
yes.
He's like, I am a hoodlum. And then he, like, messes up the shelf and he's like, look, I've done this.
He picks up marshmallow fluff and puts it in a diaper. He's like, I have caused a great inconvenience for the low-wage workers who caused symmetry to exist in this shelf. I am a dangerous fellow and I am causing mayhem in this store.
And, like, Lauren is just like, typical hoodlums. Like, she doesn't say anything. She's just like, I'll check this out. And they say, don't call the cops or Fido here gets it. Which Tobias does, like, drag Marco for later.
Yeah, it's good.
So they have the dog. They have to...
Tobias morphs Champ, and they swap the harness onto Tobias, morphed as Champ. Marco's like, how are we gonna keep this dog quiet? And Axe is like, I have a confession to make. I am a true hooligan. I shoplifted some doggy biscuits.
So they are going to make Champ fat on these biscuits, and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
So Tobias goes out to be the dog for his mom.
This is such a sad sequence, which I did not expect going in, but, like, he comes back out, and Lauren is like, did those mean teenagers upset you? Like, let me hold your little doggy face and give you a kiss on the doggy nose. And Tobias nearly faints because this is the first time his mom has ever touched him in living memory.
And he talks about how he, like, as a kid, daydreamed about, like, one day my mom will come back and, like, we'll have this life. I'll have a race car bed. She'll tuck me in and she'll kiss me on the nose. And, like, the whole, like, ideal, like, life, like, but he's a dog being kissed by his mom. Like, and he knows how ridiculous this is, but that makes it so much sadder. So they go back to her house.
He does a comically bad job of being a guide dog because that does take years of training. So he nearly trips her. She steps on his paws, but eventually he gets the hang of it.
So he hangs out in her house basically the whole night. Like, he...
yeah, he, like, looks for Kendrona stuff or anything that might prove she's a controller, but can't find anything. He's also looking for reasons why she might not have been,
like,
there.
And he keeps having to go demorph in the bathroom, and he mentions that he, like, wraps himself in a shower curtain so no one will see.
With his little birdie beak. Baby.
And so he's, in the middle of the night, he's looking around and he finds this envelope with, like, medical reports, lawyer invoices. And it turns out that she, in addition to losing her sight, she also lost some of her memory because of brain damage from, whatever happened. So she can't remember things and...
I have questionable feelings about amnesia as a plot device, but, like, it's deliciously sad here, so I'm fine.
I feel like the way this book, like, because she does explain... in a couple chapters, and it seems legit. Like, it seems like actual brain damage because it's
right. It's not just I remember everything but you, my tragic son. It's like I forgot how to feed myself and, like, what teeth were and basic body like bodily functions.
I had to relearn how to walk, so I couldn't take care. Yeah. Like,
more substantial than
just like I tragically forgot my son and now I live here. Yeah. I still am like I don't know that much about amnesia and brain damage, but this seems more plausible to me than...
Yeah, and it's weightier than, like, your 24, your Jack Bauer's niece amnesia. Yeah.
But, of course, Tobias looks at this and is like, I can't believe this. Like, I let myself hope that this is it, and this is just, she doesn't remember me, and that's it, and then everything will be fine. She'll somehow remember when she sees me. Like, I know that's not how it works, but what if this is?
But what if it did? Yeah.
Is he still a kid?
So in the morning, he morphs human, he makes a pot of coffee, and he waits for Lauren to come downstairs.
So she comes in the room, and he says, I'm Tobias, your son. And she recognizes the name, and she goes, I wondered if you'd ever find me. So then Tobias is like, wait, you know who I am, but, and she's explaining, like, I know I have a kid named Tobias, but I don't remember anything.
Because the doctors told me, right?
I don't remember anything. I had years of physical therapy. I'm blind. Mm-hmm. I can't remember how to, like, I didn't know how to brush my teeth. Like, I couldn't.
Right. Like, I couldn't take care of myself. And they told me they put you with a family relative who would be better able to care for you.
And Tobias says, like, I needed a mother, when she says, like, you needed someone to take care of you. Which, like, he's not wrong. Like, he needed her, but also she couldn't. Like, it's like, a very real, like, situation. Like, it feels like a real no-one-wins scenario. Like,
Right. There wasn't a perfect solution, and life is really difficult and horrible sometimes, and there isn't always a way to get everybody to a place where things work.
And she, like, basically explains everything to him, but obviously he's still, like, upset.
He's, like, able to understand on a logical level, like, yes, that makes sense. I understand why you made this decision, but also I needed you in my life, and I still do.
And he's also still trying to suss out if she is a controller or not.
Right. He's like, he thinks she is not, but there's obviously no guarantee.
He can't 100% believe it until they check. So she, he basically is like, okay, like, we have to get you out of here. What's going to happen is you can't leave the house for 2 days.
We'll bring you groceries. We'll bring you your dog. Don't worry about it. He's fine. And then after 2 days, you're going to go for a walk in the park, like, follow this route. And she doesn't, like, obviously she's hesitant. She doesn't believe him. But she's mentioned before that part of her amnesia, like, she kept telling the doctors she remembered aliens and just assumed that was part of, like, the brain damage as a result of her accident. So he has to play her the trump card as, like, okay, so these aliens... Yeah. And describes a Hork-Bajir, and she's like, how did you know? Like, who told you?
And then he's like, and then there was, like, another one who seemed, who was, like, blue, and he seemed really wise, and had, like, four, like he, a more poetic description than that. And she's like, oh, yes, I remember, like, I remember that, too. And he's like, no, like, all this is real. That really happened. You have to trust me.
It's so sad. I hate it. He's, like, telling her about her old husband, his dad, but obviously cannot get into the details of, like, here is what happened.
But I do like that, like, she's still, like, we can see that the Lauren...
The adventurous baby, that we met back in Andalite
Chronicles.
She's,
like, ready to be like, oh, okay, that was real. Okay. Like, like, she's, like, I like that she's still, like, this caring person who... like, just needs someone to tell her the alien stuff she remembered was real. Like, but yeah, so Tobias has to go, like, get the rest of the
permission and help to get this plan to come together. So he goes to the Hork-Bajir Valley, and in yet another brutal visual, he finds Jake sitting by himself, just peeling the heads off dandelions under a tree somewhere in the valley. God. He's like, he's totally alone, right as everyone else is, like, telling their families the truth and, like, hanging out with them, and while they're in quarantine, Jake is totally alone.
It's also, like, such a, like, a normal teen, like, a normal tragic teen visual of, like, just ripping apart flowers, but, like... He really, like, he's been through it. Like,
this isn't like, oh, I didn't get cast in the school
play.
This
is like, you have such a tragic thing happening with you right now. So Tobias is trying to, like, get him on board with this.
Jake is pushing back. Like, you don't know that she's not a controller. And Tobias talks through, like, I didn't see any Kendrona stuff. And he also spends a while harping on, like, I don't think the Yerkes want someone who's blind. Like, to them, they're going to see that as a controller they cannot use. Which I didn't think about until I sat down to look at my notes. But, like, that's another thing they probably picked up from Andalites, right? With their attitude towards, like, V. Coles as being useless, quote unquote, to the Andalite people. It's like bad attitudes about disability is yet another thing they picked up from the Andalites.
Yeah, I am wondering how much of that is intentionally like Andalite stuff and how much is just like when these books were written, I feel like people were a little bit less compassionate and like thoughtful about that kind of thing. But I think also the Yorks are not kind people, so in a very cold way.
And also they're coming from like a brutal and calculating militaristic campaign.
And also like the Ged had really poor eyesight and they didn't like that.
And, I didn't even think about that connection.
Visser III was like so, like sight was such a big thing for him.
When he got his first morph, that was what he was harping on for a long time. Or like a Hork-Bajir, whichever one had better
eyesight. I can totally believe that as being a thing the Yorks are thinking about, but I'm not sure how much the Animorphs saying that, but it's, it feels like a real thing he would say.
That's going to be important towards the end of the series. I'm worried about it.
So, so he says, like, did you forget your family? You're telling me to forget about my mom. And he says, like, I need you to trust me and take this risk. And Jake says, like, I'll tell Rachel to go with, like, take Rachel. You'll need her.
Baby. It's so, good. He's, like, so reluctantly acknowledging, but really is, like, okay, Tobias, like, I am going to trust you on this one. I know you need this.
I didn't realize that when Tobias framed it as, like, take this huge risk, he's basically saying, like, remember how you couldn't do that earlier with your parents. Take this risk with my mom. It's so sad. So
he's flying over the valley.
Oh my God.
And we get a couple of really, really good scenes with everyone's families.
It's like very like cartoony, but also I love it and I need
it. this is a good OVA. Yeah. Like, please show me the one off cartoon episode of this book.
It's so anime. Like, first of all, the Hork-Bajir love
where to even
Hork-Bajir
start?
Love all their parents.
Oh my God, they're like Tobias describes it as like a gang of Hork-Bajir are following Cassie's parents around like sharp bladed
puppies.
They
are doing combat training.
They're doing combat training with like Eva and Marco's dad.
And Eva is also debriefing them on everything she knows. Mm-hmm. Rachel's mom is.
Oh my God, Rachel's mom is
so
good.
She's setting up a government for them, so she has to, first of all, explain what I guess a government is, and then sit down on a picnic table and, like, talk to them about what they want out of their society. Yeah.
They're, like, drafting a constitution together, and it's all about, like, here are the ways which you can strip bark from trees. Here is how long trees have to lie fallow.
So
it's like, it's good.
Like,
it's
really
good.
This is what they care about, and she's like, okay, I'm gonna get this down. We're gonna work this out.
I need a project. We're going to make
it
happen.
So good. So Rachel's sitting there watching this, and Tobias shows up, and Rachel's like, please, please tell me.
Tell me you're planning a suicide mission that you can't pull off without me.
I can't be here anymore. Like, I need a break from this.
Tobias is like, yes, I am, and I do. And she's like, you have saved my sanity. Thank you. So Tobias is, like, checking in, like, is your mom okay? She looks really mad. Rachel's like, no, listen, she's delighted. She is in her element. She loves a fight. When the bickering stops, she will be miserable. Tobias says, ugh, must be genetic.
It's so good. It's so good.
Good burn. Yeah.
So
they have a couple days to plan, which is good because this plan is wild, y'all.
Yeah, this plan is a lot. So...
yeah.
Tobias does explain to Lauren, like, hey, stay inside. I am your dog. he morphs with her hand on his face so she can feel it. And she's like, what is happening? But she doesn't move her hand, which is, like, really meaningful and also really sad.
Probably
also,
feels
this
disgusting.
Poor woman, she's touching this morphing creature.
Unpleasant. I don't even like to touch those little like sea slippers.
No.
That's just bad texture all around. So they've managed to, they followed her back inside. They slipped the controllers who were surveilling her for a little bit, like for just long enough for Tobias to get in there with her.
And he's trying to explain everything really quickly so they can get her out.
Very, very quickly. While they were out, while they were meeting her in the park, Rachel slipped something into her bag. So Tobias tells her, like, go in your purse. You're going to find something heavy in there. I need you to get it out.
And it's the morphing cube, which they have her, like, touch it. She can now morph, mm-hmm. and she acquires Tobias's bird morph, which is so much.
I know. There's so many levels of, like, family weirdness happening
here.
Like,
it's kind of beautiful.
Meanwhile, while we're trying to have a moment. Yeah, it's kind of gorgeous. Like, the scene of them flying together is really good, but also.
Oh my god, this poor woman. Like, she's,
It's like, not just aliens are real, but, like, you're gonna turn in, you're gonna use alien tech to turn into a bird with your son who you thought was gone?
Yeah, like, the son you, like, don't remember and probably feel a little bit weird about not remembering.
Is a bird?
Yeah. Ooh. Let the hawk surge through you, he tells her.
Yeah.
But it works.
Meanwhile, Marco is screaming at them that cars are coming in from every direction. This is not a test. They have been burned. Controllers know they are here. They have no time. There's a helicopter. Oh, they have to get out.
This helicopter keeps coming back.
It just will not quit.
So they have to fly out. Lauren is understandably busy being distracted by how wild morphing is. And then, like, the bird eyes come in and she's like, oh, I can see, which is cool for her. But also,
Tobias is wondering. Tobias does a really good job of, like, staying calm and talking her through it, although his vocabulary is questionable. I agree with you. And he's wondering, like, why do I feel so calm? Oh, it's because I'm like Jake. Yeah. Like, I have a goal that's personal to me and not just abstract. Or, like, you know, saving the human species is not abstract, but also it kind of is because that's too big to process. And when you have this immediacy of, like, I have to get my mom out of this house is a whole other thing.
Yeah, it's like that, like, when you have one thing that is the most dangerous and important, you can kind of focus. You can kind of get it together.
You can clear blue line it, as Marco would say, all the way through to surviving.
So they fly out of the house. The helicopter is after them, so they have to get somewhere the helicopter can't follow them. So they go in a warehouse, which is full of toys, which is great.
Yeah, this is, again, like, comical adventure. Funny. Rachel's an elephant morph plodding along. Axe has the morphing cube and, like, a Barney backpack on his back and is racing after them. Marco dumps a bin of Hot Wheels toys, like, in full ball-bearing mode. Off the shelf of a warehouse, and, like, controllers are skidding along it and just can't walk.
And then Marco's in his Gorilla Morph on a scooter.
Yeah, and, like, uses the scooter speed to clothesline a bunch of other controllers who are chasing them.
It's like...
Yeah. Rachel knocks over a row of toy shelves like dominoes to crush a bunch of people.
So...
It's madcap, it's mayhem, it's a romp.
So they get out of the warehouse, and now the only thing left chasing them is the helicopter.
Right. Kind of a large problem.
Tobias darts out, leaving his mom with Rachel and Marco, which made me very nervous, because I was like, your mom doesn't know about the two-hour thing. Like,
they didn't have time
to explain anything.
No, we can't have a whole family of hawks. Yeah. So Tobias decides, like, the only thing we can do at this point is destroy the helicopter. Otherwise, it is not going to stop chasing us. We just have to outfly it, because I've been flying for a lot longer than that granny.
He goes full fighter pilot and is like, let me finish this. So he, like, flies up and...
He does a pretty good job of luring it closer. Like, it's getting closer to the ground. He feels like in one more pass he can finish it. But then Granny Controller pulls out her old trusty Dracon
beam. I do love that she's back. Like, I need to know everything about this old woman controller, because I love her.
Me too.
But also, like, don't shoot at my boy.
yeah, please. Come on.
And
so Tobias, I think, doesn't notice a Dracon beam, and he's, like, trying to taunt Granny to get her to crash. So she has time to take full aim directly at him. But at the very last second, he is shoved out of the way of the blast by Lauren.
I was like, oh my god, that's why Tobias, like, I mean, it was sad when Tobias was noticing the other Animorph's parents, like, trying to get between them in danger. It was sad when it was just, oh man, Tobias doesn't know his parents.
Misses that.
But now it's like, oh my god, his mom loves him, like... She doesn't remember him at all, but, like, she still has that in her.
But
she knows
protecting
that
him.
That's her family, and
she
needs to protect him. Like, she thought she was doing the right thing
right.
before when she gave him up. So.
Yeah. And Tobias in particular is someone who, like, on paper has had a family, yeah. but they certainly weren't people who were yeah. going to do this kind of visceral taking yeah. care of him.
They weren't family in the way that actually matters. They were just, like, technically related yeah. to him.
Right. You cannot choose your family. No. It is not always going to be people who will yeah. do this for you. And for Tobias to have that suddenly after not having had it is really, yeah. really a special moment. And also, they're both birds yeah. being shot at by an alien
and
laser
I was also
beam.
Like, if they kill her now, I'm going to be so mad. But also, this would be, like, a good, like, if she has to go, I guess this is a cool way for her to, like, still be tough Lauren mm-hmm. who, like, pulled a gun on a bunch of aliens, but I don't want yeah. that.
Oh my god, she was such a cool yeah. teen with her softball oh bat god. And her strong she's arms strong. And her blonde hair.
So, she's not dead though. She's just very hurt.
Yes. So, they have to talk her through yeah. demorphing. She doesn't want to demorph. She's scared, but she manages to do it. And because of DNA question mark yeah. when she demorphs to human she doesn't have her scars anymore and yeah. she can see again.
Well, she also says at first that she doesn't want to demorph because she'll be blind again, which
oh right
I have mixed feelings on, but
yeah right no I do not know enough about like deaf culture yeah. is an entire thing if you're deaf yeah. from birth it is a big part of your identity and like there's a huge community yeah. of people who have more complex feelings on, like, hearing yeah. aids and hearing restoral than I would ever be able to touch on. I don't know how much of that is the case for people who, like, become yeah. blind due to an accident or damage, but yeah. I don't know. Like, this is not my lane, and I, too, have confused yeah. feelings about, like, how
yeah.
that was
I think,
written.
I think for me it was, like, the fact that, like, she was someone who was made to be blind through an accident, an attack or something.
Yeah.
I buy that she wants to have her, like, I buy that that's something where she's like, I want to have my sight. But mm-hmm. she's,
but I don't know if I buy it enough
yeah,
to
she's
not
like,
die.
About to die. Yeah. I'm like, you just got reunited with your son. You can morph a bird.
Yeah.
He hasn't told you that you can do this at any time, but like you're about to die and you won't be able to hang out with your son ever. Like, mm-hmm. come on.
Get your priorities together.
But I
together.
Guess this is a situation where maybe she isn't. I it's not the yeah. worst. It's just,
it's messy. She's very stressed.
But it gave me pause. But anyway, they get her to demorph. She's okay. She's safe.
Yes.
And
she screams, I can see. And Rachel says, yeah, but can you run? And scoops her up in her little elephant trunk to get her out of the way of the helicopter, which crashes and burns.
I want Lauren and Rachel to hang out.
Me too. Good news.
Yeah.
They're gonna.
Although, now that I think about it, Lauren probably doesn't remember being a cool teen that much.
Oh, no. Oh,
although,
baby.
Maybe it's only parts of her memory. I don't know. I don't know. So, anyway, she's alive. She's safe.
Everybody's okay, except for Jake's family, and they're gonna all fly to the Hork-Bajir
yeah.
Valley together.
And then there actually is, like, a really nice little epilogue. Well, nice except for the fact
yeah.
that Jake is shattered. everyone else is doing okay.
But that aside, yeah, I feel like there's been so many books in a row where it just
yeah.
ends at the bleakest point that I was not expecting
yeah.
this, and I was really grateful
yeah,
for
was
it.
Yeah, I really... thankful.
Give me any
yeah.
crumb. Any crumb
yeah.
of a picnic.
Turns out, Champ the dog, fine. They saved him. He's in the valley.
Yeah.
Lauren is there. She's playing Frisbee with her dog. The controllers
yeah.
didn't get them.
Rachel's mom is
oh
now teaching the Hork-Bajir to read so they can
yeah,
sign their constitution.
They finished the constitution. They hammered that out, but then
yeah.
none of them knew how to sign it. And they voted that she should teach them. She
yes.
said, I'm not a
right.
teacher. Who says that I have to teach you? They vote, and they say that she does. Like, I love it.
She's given them
yeah.
too much power. It's so funny
she
and good.
She taught them well enough that they're using it against her.
Yeah. That's the ultimate mark of teacher respect.
Which is great. And
so Tobias is in
yeah,
human morph. Because
he says that now it feels right to him to be in human morph sometimes when he's, like, especially around
yeah.
his mom, which is really cool because up until now, it's like, he can morph human. He does it sometimes.
Right, and he does it, like, I think he's been doing it because it, like, yeah. makes Rachel feel good, or, like, to be around her more, but it is rare to see him do it just for
yeah.
his own sake, and this felt like it kind of was, like, I want this. Not
yeah.
just my mom will be happier for this, but, like, I feel more comfortable
yeah.
doing this at
yeah,
this
it feels
time.
Like,
which is, like, it's nice to acknowledge,
yeah.
like, the fluidity
like,
of
and
that.
And it's like, he's still, like, not, like, wanting to be this all the time, but he feels right. more comfortable just letting himself be like, okay, right now I want to be human, which is really, I'm yeah. really happy for him.
Me too, baby boy.
And so he's like sitting there watching his mom play with her dog next, and he's sitting next to Jake, who's like also watching it, and Tobias is like stuck thinking about how everything is the opposite for them. It's been like a day, mm-hmm. and everything is so different. I guess a couple days, but it's been so different. Like everything is different. Like their actual like things are happening in this book that like you can't go back to the things that happened like two books ago. But also
they're all just living in the valley with their families now, and also like Jake and Tobias have had kind of this complete, not role reversal necessarily, but fortune reversal for sure.
And Tobias feels weird about it. And he also feels weird about how like his mom is physically healed from demorphing, but mm-hmm. she
didn't get her memories back, and he was kind of like,
yeah,
he knows it was silly to hope, but was still holding out hope that might happen too.
Of course he did. But like Cassie is sort of, I think Cassie's the one who explains like, well, we don't know how memory works. Like that seems like it might not be just biological. So, mm-hmm. you know, it might in time, maybe she'll heal. Like we don't know what happened basically when she demorphed.
Yeah.
Maybe something like anyway, but she's alive and she's safe and her dog is safe. Thank God.
Champ.
And
Jake asks him if he's told her about Elfangor, and he hasn't yet, because that is a whole other level
how
of, like, not just you. How do you tell someone that aliens are real? You are married to one. You lived with him. I'm his son and your son. But also, he died giving me the power to turn into animals
like,
in the middle of an interstellar war.
Also, like, your husband is an alien, and you knew him as an alien, but also, I'm a human boy, but I have alien powers that he gave me when he came back. Don't know if he knew that I was his son. Like, it's so complicated, but also, like...
Right, he wrote me a letter, and my greatest enemy pretended to be our cousin, and I had to pretend that I didn't care.
Yeah, because earlier on, he's, like, really skeptical about... his mom, because he's like, the last time I was told that I had long lost family, it was all a lie. Yeah. So I don't know if I believe that any of this is going to be good, because the last time I had hope, it was bad. Like, I'm so glad.
Has learned helplessness. Yeah, it is a
I'm
hard
so
thing.
Glad something worked out for him, because he's had a lot of losses.
He needs it. Yeah.
So this book.
So then we turn from that to Tobias kind of taking a moment to comfort Jake, which is also really good and devastating.
Yeah, it's nice that Tobias is in a place where he can do that. Like, he's not as, like, in survival mode. Like, he can, like, he basically tells Jake, like, your family is going to be alive, because they're going to be, if they die, they lose that collateral with you. So there's still hope that you can get them someday.
Right, and it's such a practical
it's
hope,
like, really
too.
Dark.
Like, I respect that he knows, he knows that, like, putting window dressing or, like, dressing this up is not going to work on Jake. You just have to give him the brutal truth, which is, like, they need them as bait. They're going to be alive as long as we hold out and keep fighting.
Yeah, so we can hear you out, and, like, we can get them eventually if we just keep trying and keep fighting and win, but...
But our secret is out. Like, they know who we are. They're going to have to change that back cover text. And I just realized I should have looked up. I don't remember if the back cover text changed on this one.
Look it up. The trivia doesn't say anything about it, but it's possible. I will look up for next time if anything is different. But I don't think so. It's not listed. Anyway, that was... a book where things actually
that sure
we're definitely out of filler. We're definitely
we're in it,
back in the mess. The next book is a Cassie book,
baby. Next up is book 50, the ultimate. Yes, which is a Cassie book.
The ultimate frisbee.
It's just a book about Champ and Lauren's mom, or Lauren hanging
and
out
Homer?
In the grass, teaching the Hork-Bajir to golf. Yeah, with Homer.
You can't, like, even if they say that anything else happens to Homer, I choose to believe he's with the Chi, and he's happy and safe. I can't believe anything else.
No, you know what? I don't think that's ever going to get disproven. I think we're good.
You cannot prove that. You can't.
You can't unprove that. Yeah. You can't unring that.
Well, that was a good book.
Yeah, that was good. I'm glad to have gotten to read it, and I'm very glad to have gotten to debrief with you, so
also,
thank you.
Taking in that TV show and then back to the books, now I'm like, oh yeah, these books are so good.
Yeah. Ooh. It's a nice contrast, for sure.
So?
Okay, so until next time, you can find us online on Twitter at Morph Clubcast, or using the hashtag Morph Clubcast.
You can also join our Facebook group, also called Morph Clubcast, where we like post memes and talk about the books, and yeah.
It's a good place. It's a very happy place. It is, unlike the sharing, actually the happiest place on Earth. And if you have a minute and can leave us a rating and a review on iTunes, that would be a huge help. It is incredibly sweet and touching to read them, and it helps other folks find the show, which is rad.
And you can support us separately on Patreon. Carrie is Carrie Draws.
And Megan is Megan Brennan, and she does all of the production and editing work for the show, so please help her sustain her life.
So, we survived this book.
Sure did. Gonna keep on fighting.
I will get my McDonald's one day.
That's a good post-recording treat. I'm glad.
One day, receive the McDonald's that this book description awakened a craving for in me.
The saltiest possible fries, the most bird-friendly possible burger. It's what we can all dream about.
Until next time.
All right. So this has been Morph Club. Bye.